13, which is the church letter to Pergamum. If you use the King James Version, it may say Pergamus. As you reach for your Bibles and find this passage of Scripture, let me share with you some of the historical facts about this community. You see, Pergamum was uniquely different from all the other cities that had received letters because this was the capital of the Roman province of Asia Minor. And with politics and religion at its center, every ruling from its local parliament was law for all of Asia Minor. The city was also a center for idol worship. So Pergamum was considered a royal city, not only because of its political influence, but because it also had a temple built for emperor worship to Caesar Augustus. Now, this city had other great temples within its boundaries, one to the Greek god of Zeus, who was the god of sky and thunder, and the other to the Greek god of Asclepius, who was the god of healing. Not only did Pergamum host great temples, but it also had the greatest library known to the world. And here's a fun fact about that library. This is the very library that Mark Antony gave to his girlfriend, Cleopatra. Well, with all that being said, let's look at this letter together. Verse 12 says, "To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Nevertheless, likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And whoever has ears, let them hear the Spirit say to the churches, to the one who is victorious, I will give some of them hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it. No, only to the one who receives it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Oh, Lord, as we are so grateful for the technology that allows us to come together today, we ask, Lord, that through this time together, that you will truly speak to each of our hearts, and you will nourish each of our souls, preparing us and equipping us to be your hands and feet for the week that lies ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, of all potential these verses offer for sermonized ideas, this morning I only want to concentrate on one aspect, and that aspect is this: our need for an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, if we had the time this morning to unpack further the inner workings of the city and its influence, we would see this was an epic center of the pandemic known as spiritual pluralism. You see, the city inhabitants, as well as some of the Church of Pergamum attendees, considered this spiritual pluralism as one of their highest virtues and proof of their religious piety. But religious pluralism has never been anything that God has approved of nor tolerated. Might I remind you what Scripture says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. It says, Scripture says, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth below, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Pretty straightforward, isn't it? You know, our scripture references Balaam this morning, and we may remember that he's the guy who was riding the talking donkey, or if you're using the King James Version, it'd be called the talking ass. But I want you to know, friends, what he's known for, what his world-renowned popularity and identity is not about the donkey he was riding. Rather, it is about how his life represents the complete work of evil and how evil will go to any and all extremes to draw the children of God away from the teachings of God through religious pluralism. And if you'd like to study this a little further, then I encourage you to get your Bibles down this afternoon and read Numbers chapter 22 through 25. You know, if I can be so harsh and be so matter of fact, it seems that humanity's always flirted with religious pluralism. I mean, even today, we see the church suffer from those who long to incorporate every expression of religion as being a road leading to God. I mean, there is something within humanity that rebels against this idea of having a personal, exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. But to me, this is exactly what the narrative of this letter is addressing. Now, Christ commends this church for their faithfulness to his name. Despite of all the persecution the church had experienced at the hands of the Roman, as well as pagan priests, by the Nicolaitans, as well as the Roman government, which killed Antipas, Christ celebrates and commends their faithful perseverance. But in the very next sentence, we see he condemns them for embracing spiritual pluralism and demands that they repent for becoming a compromised church. You see, the fruit of their experience would be manifest only by them having an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. I stated earlier that this is exactly what I want to concentrate on, and that's what we will concentrate on for the rest of our sermon time together. You know, church, there are wonderful, life-fulfilling benefits to having an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you of just a couple of them this morning. First and foremost, an exclusive relationship with Christ gives us eternal hope. No matter how devastating COVID-19 becomes, it can never penetrate the power of the promises of God. Remember, friends, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is the Spirit that lives within you and me. This power gives us stability, wisdom, and assures us that all that we experience in the humanness of life never separates us from the love of God. Secondly, an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ gives us peace and assurance. I mean, every religion, every individual for that matter, has looked or are looking to find ways to live a life of peace and rest. I mean, every self-help book is offering some formula to help people find a happy life. Listen, I do believe that God never intended for humanity to be miserable while on earth, evident by the Garden of Eden. And while sin corrupted this world, it hasn't affected with an A or effected with an E God's desire for you and I to have a life of peace and assurance. All religions tell us that if we do this or if we do that, we can alter our afterlife. The Christian church has even taught in history that if we do this or do that, it will either appease God from his wrath or summons God for his favor. But what Christ is simply wanting from the church of Pergamum, and for those of us watching today, is to not get lost in the portals of religion that invite us to value anything more than having an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. And last but not least, for the sake of brevity, through an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ, God has chosen to share his kingdom with me and you as his children. I mean, this kingdom of heaven is grounded, guided, and guarded in the love of our Creator. An unadulterated, perfect love. Knowing this love enables you and I to see with spiritual eyes and hear with spiritual ears God, even in the midst of panic, fear, and uncertainty. This love, for those of us who know it, we know that it speaks to our hearts in ways that words cannot adequately describe it. We just know that it comforts us when we hurt. It guides us through uncharted terrain. It directs us for our best and cares for us even when we choose not to care for ourselves. This is the type of relationship that got the church of Pergamum through the hard times of their past. It is the only source that will get you and I through the hardships of our lives. But for this to be a benefit to us, we must consistently nurture our souls on the teachings and examples of Christ, allowing them to rule our lives. And hear me, friends, when anything else, and I do mean anything else, becomes more valuable than this, we have begun to miss the mark of living a faithful, fruitful, thoughtless life, calling us to have not only a distorted view of who God is and what His love is like, but a depleted relationship with our Lord and Savior. So let me wrap this up with a simple illustration. You know, if we could compare an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ to a nice hot bath, we know that we cannot add cold water to a hot bath and expect it to remain hot, right? Likewise, we cannot fill the tub with hot water and expect it to remain hot forever. To maintain a constant temperature, we must keep adding hot water. You say, well, Michael, that's pretty elementary. And it is. But I want you to know it's just elementary with our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge us this coming week to incorporate in our Lenten disciplines the practice of examination of conscience so that we can recognize what we have allowed other influences to replace the influence of Jesus Christ in our life. For those who are intentional, we are promised hidden manna that will not only sustain us, but nurture our exclusive relationship with Christ. It will grow us in our ever-loving, ever-evolving relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hope you accept this challenge today, and you'll do all in your power to nurture your exclusive relationship with Christ. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father and the Son.